Welcome here. It's good to be here with you, and that some of you took in the Ranger Lake fall supper last evening. If you were there, you would have heard that through their ministry this past summer, I believe 56 children came to know the Lord. Wow. And that ministry is continuing to go forward, and that they've got some big projects on the go. They're trusting the Lord for some big things. But we were also blessed because Matt Riley cooked the supper last evening, and I was there to witness that, and wow, I think he's got a gift in that area. So thankful for Matt Riley. He's one of the missionaries that we support here. Thank you for his ministry. You've also might have heard that Dawson and Celine are due to come in this week. So please be praying for them as they come from Zambia home with two little kids. Some of you know what it's like to travel on an airplane with two little kids. And that it's not an easy venture. And that, I won't go into some of our stories, but we've got some stories to tell of our trip with little kids as well. And it was not an easy venture. So please be praying for Dawson and Celine as they travel this week as well. Ken Gunther is in Indonesia. Please be praying for his ministry, and that I think he's coming back this week, but I'm sure Bertha would like to have him back, but just praying for him as he takes in directors' meetings there as well. So those are some of the things happening in with our missionaries as well. I've titled my message, An Abiding Presence. And that we're continuing on in our series on the Holy Spirit. And that I think it's a teaching that we in the evangelical church have largely avoided to our detriment. And that is actually discouraging that we have taught so little on this doctrine. And if you want to sound important, what we're talking about this morning is called the doctrine of pneumatology. And so if you can leave here this morning knowing a big word, maybe that will kind of help you to sound more intelligent, whatever. But we want to look at the application of this teaching as well. Maybe you have been the witness of someone picking up a new mechanical device, a tool, and trying to use it. And if the person does not have much experience with that device, then sometimes it can lead to humorous incidents. Talk about the person who picked up the Sawzall and begins to use the Sawzall, not realizing that you have to have it plugged in and you have to push the trigger, and they seek to use it as a regular handsaw. Just the humor that is watching somebody like that. Or maybe you've witnessed somebody picking up the router for the first time, and all of a sudden they try to go to router something and it just goes all over their piece of work and absolutely destroying it because they haven't learned how to control it. And so there's a lot of humor when it comes to devices. And YouTube has many different stories for us when it comes to those using devices with little experience. Or maybe you have a memory of one of these experiences and you are thankful that nobody witnessed your first usage. And thank goodness that I grew up in the day when YouTube was not high importance and that nobody witnessed, or at least I'm not aware of any person filming me of some of those incidences in my life. Of me seeking to gain experience. Over time, you have gained experience and become proficient in the use of different tools. The process may have been one out of silence, for you were embarrassed to ask for help. We have help today with YouTube how-to demonstrations. And so we have much that we can seek to find out about. When all of a sudden you need to repair something, you can go to YouTube and you can find some films about that and learn and be trained. The disciples were soon to face a major transition in their lives. Yes, they had been being schooled, they had been being taught over the previous 3 years, and that as they traveled with Jesus, they gained much experience and much proficiency in sharing the gospel. Jesus had sent them out to share the gospel two by two on at least we know of one occasion, and I'm sure there was even more than that occasions. But here, as Jesus comes in his teaching with them and saying that he is soon to depart, And so I'm always imagine that things were seeking to, the anxiety level that they had was going to increase and was already increasing. What do you mean? 3 years. 3 years is a very short period of time to know all that we need to have be taught. And so they had had opportunity to utilize. But yet still, how do we move forward with in the ministry that you're calling to us when you are not around? But now Jesus was speaking of leaving them, and that world would no longer see them. They would have to walk forward without his physical presence. And so how would they do ministry without him? Yes, he said that he would not leave them as orphans. But yet, what is ministry going to look like? And even as we contemplate our own lives today, what does ministry look like for us without Jesus' physical presence here with us? And so as he begins to share on the teaching that he was not going to leave them as orphans, he was going to send them a helper and for them. And so he begins and shares this with us as we turn to John chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's read John 14, beginning at verse 15. John chapter 14, let's begin reading at verse 15. Let's just read through to the end of the chapter. Starting at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up and let's us go from here. Jesus lets them know that the Father would be sending them the Holy Spirit, described as the helper. Not just as the helper, but as another helper is the description that he leaves for us. And it's important the usage of this construction that he leaves for us here. He is another helper, but he's also the Spirit of truth. He also shares some qualities of the helper in that he is going to abide with them and be in them forever, and that he is knowable. And his purpose would be as a teacher and recall to the disciples all that he had taught them. The disciples were soon to begin writing the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit's purpose in their lives would be as a person of recall, that they might be able to put down the paper all that he had communicated with them. So Jesus uses a title of the Holy Spirit as another helper. He wants us to be clear in the truth that he is not only just a helper, but that he is another helper. The word that he chooses to use is a word that has the meaning of another of the same kind. It is another numerically, but of the same kind in contrast to another word meaning another with a different quality. And so as you read the word of God, the Spirit of God is specific in the words that we find in Scripture. And so he calls him another of the same kind. And so as Jesus is a helper, so the Holy Spirit will be a helper of equal quality and nature. and another helper. As Jesus was a helper, the Holy Spirit, who would be soon be coming to them, would be a helper as well, a helper of equal nature and character as what Jesus is. As they have been experiencing in the presence of Jesus would be of no lesser degree, but in fact would be even more extensive, in that the Holy Spirit was going to abide with them. He was going to take up residence with them. They had physically been in Jesus' presence, but now as this helper that he was going to send would take up residence within them, and they would have opportunity to walk with him in physically present with them. The usage of the word clearly communicates the personage of the Holy Spirit in likeness to the personage of Jesus. This is backed up in Scripture with teaching that the Holy Spirit has a mind, emotions, and a will, which are supports for him being a person. And so through this word that he uses, we very much and we very clearly have taught to us that he is a person of equal. He is a person of the Godhead. He is the third person of the Trinity, and he is important in each of their lives. And important that Jesus wanted to send him to them. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a he. Some refer to him as an unseen force or the breath of God. But he is a person, very God, a very God, with a unique ministry in the life of the believer as directed by the Father. And so the Father was going to send him. In another passage, we find that Jesus was going to send him. And so we see the Godhead working together, that the child of God would not go forth as an orphan, but he would very much go forward in the power of his presence. The Council of Constantinople in AD 381 affirmed the full personality and the deity of the Holy Spirit, equal to the Father and the Son, in support to the teaching of the Word of God. And so at that time, it was put to rest once and for all that the truth that the Word of God has taught and is continuing to teach us of the personage and the part of the Godhead of the Holy Spirit. He's given the title of helper, meaning one who is called alongside, one who stands by to help or render aid, or one who is summoned to the side of another to help, comfort, encourage, counsel, intercede for, depending on the need. And so this is the role of him being a helper in our lives. No single English word has the same range of meaning as the Greek word, and maybe you, if you have grown up with Plautich, you understand that sometimes you just can't translate words, and so in this word as well, it's not easy to translate into English for us. But you're probably thinking, okay, he's a helper, and you are thinking back to times when you got to help your dad on different projects, and that you went out. And under his guidance and under his tutelage, you sought to grow in your experience level. And so often when we think of that word helper, we're thinking of somebody who does not have the same extensive knowledge, the same ability as the person that is seeking to teach us. And we need to understand that the role of the Holy Spirit here is very much at the same level as Jesus was in their lives. He is not deficient in any way. He is not needful of further training in any way. He is a helper with complete knowledge. He is very God, a very God. The Holy Spirit is equal with Jesus as a helper and is not in any way deficient in ability to comfort, help, or teach. The Holy Spirit does not need to learn anything, and as Jesus did not need to learn anything. We can rest in the knowledge of his abiding presence, that we can rest in his teaching, we can rest in his ability to lead and to guide us. Tony Evans has made this statement: the Holy Spirit is the heart and soul of the Christian faith and the victorious Christian life. And if we don't get plugged into him, we will continue to experience defeat after defeat. The Holy Spirit is necessary to make sure our knowledge about God is transformed into an experience with God. He is a person who performs, and he represents a doctrine that delivers. Another title given to the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit who has the truth reveals it. He confers it with practical proof, and he tastes to the will. He testifies it to others, and he defends that truth. In an age when truth is under attack, the importance of the objective standard is utmost importance. God is not the author of confusion, and he will not lead us to contradict the clear teaching of his word. And so it says here, he is the Spirit of truth, meaning that he holds truth. He understands truth. He is the person that we can go to when we want to know what truth is. His truth leads into life with our Heavenly Father for eternity, but also leads us to the abundant life found only in him. He opens for us the deep things of God that we might know him. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And so yes, at salvation, each of us gained the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God here this morning, you have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit living within you. But yet at the same time, when you come to Ephesians 5:18, he commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And so as I shared there earlier, that how, what is the means of that taking place? And that one means that Tony Evans shares with us is that the means of that is to involve worship in our lives. Do we have a time of worship in each of our lives? Not just Sunday mornings, because often we walk out of here, we feel like, wow, I'm filled with the Spirit. We feel like we're on cloud nine. We get to Monday morning, and all of a sudden something changes. What has changed? We need to be filled with him once again, spending time with him in worship. And so as you begin your day, do you have a time of worship involved in your lives? His word to us can be trusted and rested upon because we know it is true and is without error. We must establish extensive means in our day to have the confidence of something being carried out, but we can believe the word of the Spirit, for we know that he is truth and he can be no other. And so he's taken up residence within our spirit, and his spirit communicates to our soul, our mind and our emotions and our will. And the soul communicates to the body. Often we put it into reverse and we seek to make corrective natures in our own lives. But we seek to start with the body and then make demands upon the soul. That's not the way it works. It works from the soul, from the spirit, communicating to our soul, making changes, and then our soul making changes to our body as well. Jesus also shares with his disciples that we can know the Spirit of truth. The word that he uses for our ability to know is the truth that we can know by experience. And so we know within the Greek language, which the Word of God in the New Testament is translated from, that there's different words for knowledge. And the word that he uses here is a word meaning that we can know by experience. So how do we gain the knowledge of experience when it comes to the Holy Spirit? How do we grow in experience? Well, one way that we can have that is that we can have his abiding presence living within us. We can dwell together, and we do dwell together. Our wrong thinking about the Holy Spirit has hurt us in experiencing the Holy Spirit and thus hindering us in knowing him. The reason we know is because of the fact he abides with us. His abiding presence is a present reality for the believer with the foundation of remaining in the same place with the idea of permanence. And so when he came to reside with you at salvation, he came as a permanent presence in your life. And his presence is part of your identity as one of his children. This speaks to our security as a child of God through the Holy Spirit being in you. Often we have questions about whether our security. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is that we might know our identity and who we are. Again, another quote from Tony Evans. In light of the larger topic at hand, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, let me add that the Spirit's task is to make real in the lives of true believers the comfort and joy of their security in Christ, and to disturb those who are trusting anyone or anything other than Christ in their salvation. Thus, security is a very experiential issue. Why does God want you to know that you are secure in him? Why does the Holy Spirit want to help you experience the truth of your security? One reason is that if you are not sure you are saved, Satan will stay busy doing everything he can to keep your spiritual equilibrium upset and keep you from moving forward in terms of your growth in Christ. Another blessing of security is that it allows us to move on from the elementary teachings about the Christ and move on to press on to maturity, as Hebrews 6, verse 1 says. If you are going to move into a more mature faith, if you are going to grow as a believer of God, then we need to allow the Spirit of God to bring in, rest us in the truth of who we are, whose we are, and who we belong to, and the permanence of that teaching as well. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is as a guarantee, as a seal of that in each of our lives. He shares that you are not an orphan. It is hard when we lose those that we have built relationships with, and many in our church family have lost some loved ones over these past weeks. The burden, the heartache that comes. But here, Jesus is sharing with them, you're not an orphan. As a child of God, here this morning, we are not orphans, even though we might feel that all those around us are passing away. We are not orphans. We have his abiding presence. We can rest in the truth of whose we are. They had learned and they had experienced much from him, the disciples. To hear that the world would no longer see him disturb them, because it meant the relationships would change in a major way. Jesus promised them not only that they would have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but if you look at verse 23 here, we see one of the strongest mentions that of Jesus' presence. It says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. It's one of the strongest verses in the Word of God, sharing with us the indwelling presence of not only the Holy Spirit, but also the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Father as well in each of our lives. We are not orphans. We walk in his presence constantly. We have all the resources we need to display the character of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit and the blessings of God because of their indwelling presence. And so if you were to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you would see there that I bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. How can we walk forward with that? Because his abiding presence within us. And also the fruit of the Spirit shared in Galatians chapter 5 as well, 22. We can walk in the truth of the gifts of the Spirit as well. We have those resources at our disposal because of his abiding presence. Another ministry of the Spirit is as a teacher to the disciples specifically, but also to us individually as well. He teaches us and he instructs us in the truth of who Christ is. There was much that Jesus had taught the disciples that was not fully clear to them as of yet. The Spirit would impress the commandments of Jesus on the minds of his disciples and thus prompt them to obedience. He is not revealing new things to them, but he is helping us to understand what's already there. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God to us. And so one of the roles in his life, in our lives, is that he illuminates Scripture. He illuminates the truths that we find in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 shares, if you are convinced in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so if you are here this morning, are convinced in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then that is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man cannot perceive spiritual things. And if you have been given spiritual insight, it is the work of the Spirit of God in your life. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so if this morning, if you have your identity as a child of God, then that is the role, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in your life. John 15:26, when the counselor comes, he will testify about me. And so we this morning have his testimony with us. John 16:14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so as you grow in your maturity in the depths in the Word of God, then thank the role of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. We have been given a helper, which for many of us has little impact because we have avoided the teachings of the Holy Spirit in case we become identified as a charismatic believer, or maybe simply because we have never been taught. And so as we go through this series, we are seeking to up the role, up the personage of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives and in the ministry of Osler Mission Chapel, the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Jesus wanted to not only comfort his disciples at a traumatic time, but also equip them for the task that he had for each of them. The means of carrying that out was the gift of the helper, the Spirit of truth, as he has given and as he seeks to teach his disciples this truth. And so this morning, you, as a child of God, identified with him, with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that role is continuing on in each of us. He He's continuing to teach us. He's continuing to illuminate the scriptures to us. He was going to go with them, but not only himself, the Holy Spirit was to take up residence within each of them as well. He would be their helper, the one who came alongside to equip them and to teach them. What each of them was able to do in the power of the Spirit had a far greater impact. And so, yes, he was soon to leave, but he would not leave them as orphans. He was going to give them the Spirit, and he was seeking and sought that their instruction, that they might go out under the power of the Spirit. The church, if it was going to continue to grow, they would need to not only not operate in their own power. The church would not be built with what they had learned up till now, the importance, not denying the importance of that. They were going to need to go forward in the power of his Spirit if the church was going to be built. As we look at ministry in the church and its role today, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our presence and in our midst. The nomination sheets have been out for the past few weeks. You've all seen the positions that are available. Have you prayed about those roles, those positions? Have you sought him in those roles? God, what would you have me to do? And often we think when we pray that way is as well, God's going to make me so busy and tired. No, sometimes we are in ministries that we shouldn't be in because we have not sought his leading in those ministries and for those ministries. So he says that he is the helper. And we need lots of help in ministry. And we heard about Connect. We need help in Connect. And sometimes we move forward because we look at ourselves, we look at our adequacies, we look at our gifts, and we say, I can do that. And the question I would have is maybe you're not the most qualified person for that position then, if that's your thinking. We need people who say, wow, I'm inadequate, but I know him, the Holy Spirit, is adequate, and he's able to teach me, and I want to move forward in his power and his ability to do what he's called me to do. Knowing for a fact that if God calls us, if God places that mantle of responsibility upon us, we are going to need him in it and through it. I often look back to say, wow, how did you make it on the mission field? I still remember some of those early days there, especially when all of a sudden the pastor of one of our supporting churches made some glowing remarks about me, and I said, almost like was ready to look around and say, who in the world is he talking about? Because that's not me. And I had to learn that if I was going to do that ministry and if anything was going to come from that ministry, I needed to operate in the power of the Spirit. Now, did that always happen? No, not necessarily. But if anything came out of that, and what kept me there was his power that I got to operate in. We as a church, as we move forward into a new season of needing volunteers and nomination forms, we need people who say, well, yeah, I'm inadequate, but I know that God is adequate. And if I can do that because of him, because I know that he is able, even if I'm not. As we look at our church ministries, can we envision and seek God for ministries empowered by the Spirit of God? We're soon to enter into another year of ministry here if God should tarry. And what a blessing it would be if we as a church would say, I'm going to move forward with the Spirit of God in all of life and in ministry and see what God is well adequate to achieve and to do. And so may that be a vision that each of us have upon our hearts, that we might be people empowered by the Spirit of God in the roles that he has called us to. And now we have one last opportunity to sign up put your name on that nomination form here this morning. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the presence of the Spirit of God in each of our lives. And I just pray that we might learn how to operate in his empower, his teaching, his encouragement in each of our lives. That we as a ministry here of Ozer Mission Chapel might be able to move forward into this coming year and these months ahead, empowered by your Spirit and seeking and looking forward to seeing what you're going to do. For praying this in your name, amen. If you need prayer, please come forward. There's a couple of people that would love to pray with you here this morning. Thank you. God bless.